Good evening. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be in verse 7. I just want to thank you for praying for my sister, and just so excited that Samantha's here. I'm really excited. We're actually leaving right after this and going straight over there. We're going to watch Esther and Bethany while Christy and Mark are in the hospital and everything. So Rachel and I are very excited to be a part of all that and everything. So just really excited. It's so cool, you know. When you see a child like that, you realize it's just a miracle. It's a miracle from God, you know. And the way He gives life, the way He does, it's so cool. So really excited about that. Thanks for praying for her, and I'm sure you'll get to see her at some point in time or something like that. So we're in Philippians chapter 4. We've talked a little bit as I've been here, starting in verse 4, about rejoicing in the Lord always. Paul says, again, I say rejoice, and then he tells us, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is near. We then talked about in verse 6 how it says to be anxious for nothing, and that's a present imperative. And to be honest, that's a pretty tough thing, isn't it? That's hard for us, to be anxious for nothing. But Paul gives us an answer or a remedy. He says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And so we talked about the importance of prayer. And I'll say this again, if you struggle in any way with anxiety, the encouragement right here is to pray. And if you are still struggling with anxiety an hour later, pray again. And we can go on and on. It's not necessarily here. If you pray, your problems will be fixed. It's not that. It's that if we are anxious, then we need to pray. We need to lay those needs at the request, at the feet of Jesus. So let's read now the result. We started with the problem of anxiety. We talked about the answer. The answer is to pray. And now we look at the result, which is in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can come here today to your house to worship. We thank you that we can have the opportunity to hear your word and what you have to say to us tonight. Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts as we consider this concept of peace. Father, we know that true peace can only come from you. So, Father, we ask that you would bring peace into our lives, even in the midst of difficult times. We thank you that we can have peace, not as the world gives it, but as Jesus Christ gives it. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start off with a totally made-up story. This is not a real story, but this is one I kind of made up. I heard it once a long time ago, and then I made up my own details and stuff. So there was this guy, and he hired three different artists. And what he wanted to do is he wanted each artist to paint a picture that reflected peace, that kind of said peace in that painting, how to represent peace through a picture. And so he told the artist that that's what he was looking for. He was looking for them to draw a picture that represented peace. Okay. And so the three artists went to work and they painted their pictures. And when they came back to the guy that had asked them to paint these pictures, they showed him a picture. And the one picture, the first painter, painted a picture of a beautiful meadow, beautifully green, stretched way out to these mountains in the distance with a beautiful sunset, just a very quiet place, the grass slightly bent from the wind, just really nice, quiet, peaceful looking place. The second artist drew a picture of two people. They were kings of different nations, and they were shaking hands in friendship with the armies on each side of the kings. And this was a act of the lack of conflict. It was actually an act of friendship between two countries. That it was a peace between these two countries. But the third artist, he drew a painting of a horrible, terrible storm. It was on the ocean. The waves were crashing all over. And in the middle of this painting was a boat. And on that boat, as you could see, it had been tossed very difficultly by the waves and even was filling up with water. But on the stern of the boat rested a white dove, perched there in perfect peace. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of peace. Sometimes we like to think of it as that meadow place where things are quiet. Sometimes we think of peace as a lack of conflict. That we're at peace with one another because there's no conflict. But I want to suggest to you, when God offers His peace, it's the kind of peace that is like that third painting. It doesn't matter what the storm is. You can experience the peace of God in the midst of the storm. So that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. I want to talk about the peace of God. I want to start off by saying this. I feel ill-equipped to share this message today. And I've wrestled with it all week long. And I'll tell you why. My question was, how do I explain a concept that says it surpasses all comprehension? How do I explain a concept that I already know I'm not going to be able to explain? The peace of God surpasses all comprehension. So here I am, and I'm sitting here trying to explain peace. And I got to tell you, I feel ill-equipped to do that today. The peace of God is so much greater than I could ever express with my words today. And I want to say that if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He offers that peace to you and I. And that peace is greater than your circumstances and your trials. And I'm so glad that He offers that peace to us. I want us to remember the context of the passage in which we are looking. We kind of went through it. But remember that Paul is in prison at this point in time. He is not in the countryside doing whatever. He is stuck in prison and ultimately going to face his death in just a little bit here. And his words to the Philippians are to rejoice, to not be anxious, but to pray, and God will give peace. That doesn't sound necessarily like a man who's in prison unless he found something that the world doesn't offer, but that only Christ offers. And that's Paul's situation. So what does peace mean? Peace, the word peace actually means one. It can mean quietness or rest. It could mean to be set at one again. That's Strong's definition. And I want to start off by saying this. I think one of the issues that we have regarding peace, sometimes why we feel like we don't have peace, I believe Satan wants to rob us of our peace. Does that make any sense? Satan doesn't want you to experience the peace of God. And not only does Satan want you to trip and fall and not experience the peace of God, but he's also going to introduce sin and wickedness into your life so that you might be tempted and fall. And I want you to turn really quickly to Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48. Isaiah kind of talks about a few things in this chapter, none of which we'll deal with today, but he kind of tacks on this little concept at the very end of the chapter in verse 22. He says this in Isaiah 48, verse 22. He says, "There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord." And I want to suggest to us today that if you're struggling and if you find, "I have no peace in my life," then my first thought is we need to evaluate our hearts, ask God to search us and know us and see if there be any hurtful or wicked way in me. Because let me tell you, Satan would love to rob you of your peace. And sin will rob us of peace. So we need to watch out. Be on guard. Be on guard against sin in our lives. I know a lot of people that say, well, you know, I don't have peace with God. God must not exist. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at their lives, either they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, so why would they experience the peace of God? Or they're living in sin. And that would prevent them from experiencing the peace of God. Sin distracts us from the gifts that God wants to give us. So let's be on guard. Clark says this. He says, this peace. What is this peace? This peace passeth all understanding. It is of a very different nature from all that can arise from human occurrences. It is a peace which Christ has purchased and which God dispenses. It is felt by all the truly godly, but can be explained by none. It is communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power and influence of the Holy Ghost. I thought that was a very helpful way to see this. Listen, you and I should not be experiencing peace at all. Apart from Christ, we are enemies of God. God is the God of peace. How could we ever expect to find true, everlasting peace if we're against God? It's only because of what Jesus Christ did for us. It's only because of His death on the cross for our sins that you and I can have restoration in our relationship with Jesus and thereby experiencing peace. Henry says this, the peace of God, the comfortable sense of being reconciled to Him and having a part in His favor and the hope of the heavenly blessedness, are a greater good than can be fully expressed. And again, I just want to say, as I come to you today, I know as I'm standing here, I do not have the words to communicate the depths, that peace that God can give you. You have to experience it. I don't know who said that, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Let me tell you, you can only experience it. But let me tell you, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for God and what He has done for you and I. Now, what I want to do, because I feel like I'm not going to be able to explain this the way, you know, as pastors, what do? We read the Word and we try to explain it. And then here I am feeling like, how am I going to explain this? But I do want to say, I think there are some things I can point out regarding peace. And I do want to bring them out to you and some thoughts that the Lord kind of placed on my heart. Regarding peace. And they come from specific texts in Scripture. So I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 23. Isaiah chapter 23. You're already in Isaiah, so just a few chapters over. Isaiah 26. Did I say 26 or Isaiah 23? I'm sorry, 26. Isaiah 26. And we're going to look at verse 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. It says this, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Let me read that again for you. Just listen to this. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. One of the most important things that I see, at least in this text, that we see regarding peace, is if you want to have peace in your life, then you and I must trust in God. We must trust in God. You know, we were talking about anxiety, we talked about prayer. And I mentioned this before, and this is all very interconnected in so many ways as we talk about anxiety. But let me tell you, if I was truly trusting God, that God was good and He was all powerful and that He was working all things for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, if I truly believe that, then whatever I'm going through, would I need to feel any sort of anxiety if I believe that God was good and in control? No. The problem at times in regards to peace and anxiety in our lives is that we don't trust God the way we ought. And I want to encourage us today, I want to encourage myself, let's trust in God. He is good. He loves you. He loves me. He has sacrificed so much for you and I. Couldn't we trust Him with the circumstances that are in our lives, no matter how difficult? Now, I'm not going to say that He's going to explain to you exactly why things happen, but I do know this. God knows what He's doing. He is sovereign, and we have to trust in the sovereignty of God and not in our own way. And when we truly can trust, I believe that God can give us that peace that we so desperately long for. God is trustworthy, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Let's never forget that. God is trustworthy, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Turn with me now to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We obviously had to go here in John 14. A very powerful passage that Jesus speaks to. I want to read verse 1 through, I'll read through verse 4. Not because that's the main verse I want to focus on, but I believe there's a connection between this verse and the next verse that we're going to look at. So look at me with me at John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. It says this, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Very comforting passage right here. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus. He's going to prepare a place for you and I. I want to also say that when we are living with the eternal hope of what God gives, shouldn't that create peace in our lives? When we know that whatever you're going through, whatever circumstance, that it is momentary and temporal, it will not last. As Paul says, it's momentary light affliction that you go through. When you compare your sufferings and your difficulties with what God is doing through eternity, it makes our problems seem rather small, doesn't it? So don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Now, if you skip down to verse 25, just for a little bit of context here, verse 25 of the same chapter, Jesus says this, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And I draw that connection between verse 1 through 4 and here because he says again, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because God, Jesus, is giving peace. Not the kind of peace that the world has, but peace that's from Jesus. Jesus' peace is different than you will ever experience in all the world. I went and looked up a secular definition, it was on Wikipedia actually, of what does peace mean? And I didn't bring a copy of it, I didn't think it was that important, but I gotta say, it doesn't offer all, you know, it's not that great of a definition, you know? You know, quietness, stillness, tranquility, lack of conflict, you know, all those are kind of the general ideas of what the world has in regards to peace. Jesus came to not just bring peace as the world offers it, but he came to bring something so much deeper, so much more meaningful, something that we can't necessarily even comprehend. peace that passes all understanding. Peace with God. By the way, that's the thing that you and I, that mankind is dealing the most with in regards to God. We are at war against God until Jesus came into our lives and purchased us. He is the one that has brought peace between you and God, between me and God. That is peace that I can't understand. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Turn with me to John 16, just a few pages over, in verse 32. John 16 and verse 32. Jesus says in verse 32, "Behold, an hour is coming, and has already come, for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." What an encouragement right there. He has overcome the world. In this world you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations, but God is bigger than those trials and those tribulations. Jesus is bigger than those things. And the other thing that blows me away about this passage right here as it talks regarding peace is that He is with us. Jesus wasn't alone because He had the Father. And so you and I, we are not alone in the midst of trials and tribulation. We know that Jesus is with us. What an encouragement. Peace is not necessarily a feeling that you just feel. Oh, I feel so peaceful today. I woke up and had my, I don't know what you think of peaceful, coffee or whatever. I don't know. I don't drink coffee, so I don't know. Maybe you think that's peaceful. But let me tell you, what Jesus has to offer is much more like that picture, that painting of the dove that is in the midst of the storm. He offers peace when you and I should not expect to experience peace. So I have 5 points of application. What can we understand about peace that surpasses all comprehension? There are 5 thoughts I have for you today. What can we understand about peace that surpasses all comprehension? The first thing I want to remind us is that our sin can get in the way of peace. Let's not forget that. If you're not experiencing peace in your life, I challenge us. Let's look at our lives. You know, there are sins that maybe we don't even want to admit, you know. You might be arguing with someone and you might even feel you're right, but the way you're arguing, it's just not very nice and not very good and probably not the... But you still are going to argue your point because, hey, you need to argue your point, right? And instead, we become wrong even in the midst of being right, right? We don't want to have to admit, wow, I wronged you there, didn't I? Or it may be other things in your life. I don't know what it is. Maybe you have the root of bitterness in your life, or maybe you're struggling with gossip. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I know this, that sin is something that gets in the way. And we don't like to evaluate our own hearts and our motives. We would like to kind of ignore some of the deep, dark things. Things that maybe not other people see. Maybe I feel I can be bitter towards someone. Why? Because no one else sees. No one else knows except for me. And maybe even I'm trying to turn a blind eye to it. Pretend it's not there. But let me tell you, sin has a way of eating us. Sin has a way of destroying our peace that God wants to give you and I. So I encourage all of us to evaluate our hearts. Is there, Lord, search me. Is there any hurtful, wrong way in me? Secondly, what can we understand about peace that surpasses all comprehension? The second thing is, trusting in God is essential for the result of peace. Do you really believe that He is good? Do you really believe that what He is doing is for your best interest, but most of all for His? Do we trust God with even the tiniest little areas of our lives? So many times I find myself saying, oh no, God, I got this. I'll do this on my own. Never works, let me tell you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. Am I trusting God the way I ought? Thirdly, what can we understand about the peace that surpasses all comprehension? Thirdly, I want to say peace is a gift from God. It is a gift. You and I could never experience God's peace in your life without God being the one to give it to us. And man, I'm so glad He gives it to you and I. I was looking through many of the verses that talked about peace throughout the scriptures. There's a lot of verses that say, you know, something like peace be with you as like a greeting to a letter or an ending to a letter or something like that. But one of the things I found more surprising, I didn't realize how many times it says this, but it says that the God, referring to God, the God of peace. God makes Himself known as the God of peace. He is the one that has the kind of peace that your heart so desperately yearns for. And He's the only one that has it. You're not going to have God's peace in your spouse apart from Christ. You're not going to have it in that job promotion or whatever it might be in your life. You're going to find the peace of God in God and only in God. He's the one that can offer that peace. He's the God of peace. And it is a gift. Fourthly, what can we understand about the peace that surpasses all comprehension? God's peace goes beyond your circumstances. Man, I'm going to tell you guys, I know I bring this up a little bit, and I don't mean to always just bring up the same stuff, but I got to say, when my mom passed away, I never expected to experience the kind of peace that I felt in the midst of my grief. I'm not saying I wasn't heartbroken. I'm not saying that I wasn't sad. I was. But God gave peace in the midst of the hurt. That was one of the biggest times I remember saying, wow, this peace is not from me. It has to be from something else. By the way, I mean, if life was always good, would we attribute God that peace to God? You know? It's in those moments of trial and trouble that we see, wow, God, You've given me peace that I never expected. God's peace can be with you. My dad was talking in a communion this morning, and one of the things he was talking about, joy specifically, but one of the things he said about joy was that even in the midst of depression, no one can take the joy of God from you. You can experience joy even in the midst of the deepest, darkest depression. Because God gives something that's beyond your circumstances. He gives something far deeper. He gives His peace, in this case, as we're talking. Or in what my dad was saying, He gives His joy. The fifth thing, which has already been said, but I'll say it again. You will know God's peace by experiencing it. I cannot lodge it. By the way, I tell you, I'm still struggling being up here trying to talk about this, feeling like I can't even grasp it myself enough to be able to try to explain it to you guys. So again, forgive me as I fumble over here and talk about some of these things. But I gotta say, I cannot stand up here and logically explain to you the peace of God. I can't do it. But I can tell you that I have experienced the peace of God in my life. I can tell you that experience, to me in my mind, just that alone proves that God is real. I know God is real. Because I've experienced His peace. And it's not like the peace that the world has to offer. So again, I say you will know God's peace by experiencing it. I cannot logically explain it to you in a way that will make you understand. But I can tell you, I've experienced it. And I'm sure if you talk to one another, you'll hear each other's experiences of it as well. I believe that God's peace in our lives is one of the biggest, in my mind, I mean, I don't know, for me, it's one of the biggest proofs of God. My dad did a sermon just recently, and he kind of went through the different proofs of God. He started off with 10. He came up with about 25 different proofs of God, and he kind of labels them something like, something like the, I'm forgetting them all right now off the top of my head, as I'm just explaining, the forgiveness proof, or, you know, he talks all about these different kinds of proofs that you can see how God really does exist. The scriptural proof, I wasn't going to talk about it, so sorry. My dad's church, they all knew it, so when I said it, I just brushed by it. I didn't, you know, really think, oh, I got to give you examples. But he has all kinds of, remind me later, and I'll tell you some of the other ones if you want. But anyway, he had all these different proofs that were really helpful, and one of the biggest ones that I felt and think is this concept. You can experience God and the proof of God, at least in my life, because I've experienced God's peace, and no one could give that to me except for God. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I felt His peace in my heart. Secondly, I want to look at, talked about the peace that surpasses, but I also want to talk about the peace that guards. If you look at our text in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I want to talk about the word to guard. The word guard, as Word Study says, means to actively display whatever defenses and offenses means that are necessary to guard. Strong says this, it means to be a watcher in advance, to mount guard as a sentinel, or to post spies at the gates. This is a military word. And by the way, it's only used 4 other times in all of the New Testament. But it is a very military term. James Fawcett Brown says, "There shall be peace secure within, whatever outward troubles may besiege." You know, it's interesting. I don't know how many of you guys have ever been security guards or anything like that. I've never been, but there was one time I got to experience what it was like to guard something. And it was one of my experiences in Ghana. I remember very specifically, it's a long story. If you ever want to know the full story, sit down with me. You'll be there for a while, but I'll tell you the story. It was this crazy story. This guy wanted to come into the school. He was not allowed to come into the school. He had an injunction that said he was not allowed to come into the school. And we all knew that. And our guards, for whatever reason, decided that they would let him in if he came in the dead of night. And so we told our guards no, and we ended up firing our guards. So we had no guards. And our school had a wall with barbed wire at the top, and then there was one gate. And that was how you got in and out of the school, was through that one gate. And so we fired our guards, and we as the teachers for that one night decided we were going to guard the school together. And I'll never forget, I sat on top of the wall, not where the barbed wire was, but I sat on top of the wall, and I looked over, and I was watching this man trying to get into the school. He was trying to get in, even though we were not going to let him in, and he knew we were not going to let him in. And I remember that whole experience. We were there all night. He left at some point in time in the night, and we didn't see him again, but it was one of those experiences that was surreal. We were like, "We are guarding this school. We're not letting this guy through at all." We were so adamant that we were not going to do this. And it was one of the greatest times of my life, I got to say. That one of them. I mean, it was awesome, you know. But that was a great example for me of what it meant to guard. And when Paul says here that this peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, that's kind of this picture that I get when I think of what it means to guard. Guys, the heart is deceitfully wicked. We have to be careful. Satan will try to trip us up in our thinking and in our minds. Our hearts can deceive us. So we need a guard on our minds. We need a guard on our hearts. One of the reasons I think we struggle with anxiety so much sometimes is because we've let down our guard. But this peace that God offers, this peace is able to guard your heart and your mind. Specifically in what? In Christ Jesus. Barnes says this, through Christ Jesus, it is by His agency or intervention. It is only in Him that the mind can be preserved in peace. It is only through Jesus Christ. Peace comes from God. And I'm going to make this point one more time with you today because I believe it's absolutely essential. You will not experience the peace of God unless you're getting that peace from Him. You cannot experience it in any other person, in any other object, in any other position. It is only in Him. And yet, isn't it ironic that so many of us are stumbling around seeking for peace in other things? It's only in God that we experience God's peace. It's only in Christ. I love what Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says. We won't turn there, but I just want to remind you. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. There's a lot of things sometimes I can let rule in my heart. But God calls us to let His peace rule in us. In closing, I have four questions and application. In closing, four applications. Four questions. First of all, am I being ruled by anxiety or am I being ruled by the peace of God? If you're being ruled by anxiety, I want to encourage you to set your heart and mind on Him. To go to prayer. That's the example that we have, right? If you have anxiety, bring it to the Lord in prayer, thanking Him for what He has already done. If you're not experiencing peace, ask Him to give you peace. And if you are still not experiencing God's peace, then you continue to ask. Am I being ruled by anxiety or is the peace of God ruling in my heart? Secondly, is my heart and mind fixed on the God of peace? Is it fixed on Christ? Our hearts go many different ways if we're not careful. It can go to other things, things of this world. And brothers and sisters, I encourage us to make sure that our hearts and our minds are fixed in the right place. Listen, I'm struggling, by the way, with this a little bit because I'm not sure where I'm going to go after this. I don't know if I'm going to do a new series or if I'm going to go to this next verse and how I'm going to break it up if I do or if I'm going to break it up all. But the very next verse tells you what your mind is supposed to be thinking about. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is anything excellent, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. By the way, I just want to say sometimes our minds are not on these things. Our minds are often not on what is pure, or what is good, or what is noble or right. So is your mind and your heart fixed in the right place? Thirdly, am I asking God for peace in my life? Again, I feel that this example shares itself. Do not be anxious, but pray. Keep praying. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Ask God to give you that peace. It can only come from Him. And fourthly, am I thankful for the gift of peace that Christ has given you and me? It is a peace that blows our minds. It is a peace that is beyond us. It's beyond our comprehension. And He gives it to us freely. We find peace in the fruit of the Spirit. We find peace in the armor of God. We find that God is the God of peace and He gives His peace to you and I, not as the world gives it. He is the God of peace. And He gives us peace. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your peace. And Father, as I stand and preach this message, I know I don't even have the right words to say regarding Your peace and the experience that I've had with peace in my life from You. But I know this. What You offer is beyond what the world has to offer, and what You have to offer is far greater. Father, we thank You for Your peace. We thank You that You are the God of peace. May we honor You with our lives today, Father. Take anxiety away from our lives. Help us to go to You in prayer. And may Your peace wash over us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.